Chapter 12, The Lord Gives and Takes Away. I awoke with a start from my Sunday afternoon nap on August 7, 1960. I was 2,000 miles away from my honey in Liberia. Rachel Ince, a fellow missionary, and I had flown from Liberia to northern Nigeria for the births of our babies at the mission hospital in the town of Jos, Nigeria. But what had awakened me? It was not a gentle awakening. I felt jolted, as if I had been in a crash. With a puzzled mind and a pounding heart, I started praying. The Lord put my family back in Chicago on my mind. I prayed fervently for their safety and God's care for them. I kept praying for quite a while, until at last the Lord gave me peace, and I lay back down and slept. Later that evening, I was scheduled to play the piano for the evening service at the Mission Chapel. After getting up from my nap that afternoon, I walked over to the empty chapel and began to play the piano. The only songs that came into my mind were songs about heaven. I played one song after another about heaven and the joys of being there with my Savior. I did not know my dear mother was in heaven right then. The next day, Monday, was the day Rachel and I usually went to the ham radio room on the mission campus to talk to our husbands in Liberia. Rachel talked to her husband Lewis for a while. It was then my turn to talk to my honey, Roland. We chatted for a little while about what was going on in Liberia and Nigeria, and he asked how I was feeling as the due date for our little one was approaching. When we finished talking, several other ELWA radio staff members came on and greeted me, telling me they were praying for me. I thought that was a little strange because they were not usually present when we had these ham radio contacts. However, I dismissed it from my mind as Rachel and I prepared to leave. Before we left, Henry Hungerpiller, the missionary ham radio operator in Liberia, told our operator in Nigeria he had an urgent message he needed to send by Morse code. Rachel and I decided it did not concern us, so we left. As we walked back to our room at the mission guest house, we wondered out loud what the message was about. I said, "Well, we won't worry about it. If it concerns us, we'll find out later." The next day, Tuesday, Dr. Troop, our mission doctor, asked me to come to his office. When I arrived, he said, he was concerned about my history of problems with bleeding. I had problems with excessive bleeding when having a tooth pulled or when getting a cut, etc. He said he wanted to do a blood test that required me to be in the hospital overnight. He asked me to come later that day, prepared to possibly stay in the hospital for a few days. I agreed and came back later in the day and checked into the mission hospital. During the few days I was in the hospital, Dr. Troop said the blood test revealed I had a problem with my blood platelets, which probably caused excessive bleeding, and he wanted to give me a plasma transfusion to see if that would correct the problem. During the transfusion, I went into shock for a while, so the doctor advised me to stay a couple more days. He visited me in my room a few times and asked me about some letters I had received from my honey. He asked if there was any special news in the letters. I shared some of what Roland had told me, and he seemed satisfied. He told me I would probably be released from the hospital on Saturday. Saturday morning, Dr. Troop asked me to come into the hospital library for a consultation. When I arrived in the library and sat down, he told me Roland was on his way to see me. I was pleasantly surprised, but then said, "But why is he coming? Is something wrong?" Dr. Troop said, I heard that your mother has been in an accident. I don't know the details, but your husband will tell you more. Here he comes. As Roland walked in the door, Dr. Troop left the room and closed the door. It was so good to see my honey again after being apart for more than a month. We embraced each other and sat down. I said, Dr. Troop said Mom was in an accident. Do you know what happened? Roland explained, we got a message from Dick Reed's father, Pastor Reed, in Chicago, by ham radio last Sunday evening. He and his wife came up the same road on the way to church Sunday morning. The accident had just happened, and they saw Bibles strewn around on the road, so they stopped to see if it was someone they knew. Honey, your mom and dad and three sisters were on their way to Sunday school when a drunk man ran a red light and crashed into the passenger side of their car. That's where Mom was sitting. Mom was killed instantly. I'm so sorry, honey. We sat weeping together for a while, and finally I asked, what about the others? Were they hurt? Yes. Mary and Pat were thrown from the car. They couldn't find Pat for a while. She was thrown down into a ravine by the river. Pat has a broken pelvis, a skull fracture, and a broken jaw. Mary has a broken back and severe concussions and injuries to her head. She's still unconscious. Dad has broken ribs and major gashes in his head and was unconscious for several days. Ruth was the only one who wasn't hurt. She was thrown into the back of the station wagon. I was so overwhelmed with shock and sorrow, I could not speak. We just sat there with our arms around each other, weeping, and began praying for my dear family. How I wished I could be there with them at this time, but it was impossible for me to travel in my pregnant condition. Our baby was due in a little over a month. I was thankful the Lord had allowed my honey to come and be with me to comfort me. He said our missionary co-workers put their money together to pay for his airfare so he could come and be with me. As I figured the time difference between Nigeria and Chicago, I realized the Holy Spirit woke me up from my nap that Sunday afternoon at the exact time my family was involved in that accident. How gracious the Lord is to prepare us for difficulties in our lives and to alert us regarding the need for praying for others. In fact, the Lord began preparing me for this traumatic event a few days before. I had been praying, and the Lord and I had an especially sweet time of fellowship together. At the time, I felt like He was preparing me for something that would happen. I wondered if He was going to take my baby from me. Instead, He was preparing me for the departure of my dear mother to heaven. Amid sorrow, the Lord reveals wonderful grace. Ruth was the only one in the family who was not injured. She had many decisions to make. As she said, it was an awesome responsibility. But the Lord sent our Uncle Forrest and Aunt Venice to be a great help to her. She had her wedding invitations already sent out to friends and family for her marriage to Bob Koenig less than 2 weeks later. Uncle Forrest advised her to go ahead with her wedding plans, as she needed her husband to be at this time especially. One of my sisters told me later, Mom had everything prepared for the wedding. She had even painted the inside of the house for the occasion. She had also called a friend and told her all the plans for the wedding in case she was not there to do it herself. But before the wedding, there had to be a funeral. Dad, Mary, and Pat were all still in the hospital at the time of the funeral. But Daddy was out of the hospital in time for Ruth's wedding. It was not possible to inform everyone of Mom's homegoing before the funeral and wedding, and some of the friends arrived at Ruth's wedding unaware that Mom was in heaven. It was a great shock to them. In the afternoon of the wedding day, August 20th, 1960, Ruth put on her wedding gown, and she and Bob and Uncle Forrest, Daddy and Pastor Jim Perkins went to our sister's room at the hospital. As they walked down the hall to the sister's room, the nun escorting them said, "God bless you, even though it's not right." Ruth had to get a special dispensation to have her Protestant wedding in a Catholic hospital. Weddings were only for churches. The wedding vows and main wedding ceremony took place there in the hospital, between the beds of the two sisters who were supposed to be the bridesmaids in the wedding. Both Uncle Forrest and Pastor Perkins officiated. Mary was still in a coma during Ruth's wedding. She does not remember anything about it. Later that evening, Ruth and Bob went to the church where the guests, including our Grandma and Grandpa Bush, and many other relatives and friends, were waiting for the remainder of the wedding service. It was a happy, sad time. Meanwhile, back in Nigeria, Dr. Chuk suggested that Roland and I go out to Miango to rest and recuperate. Miango was a place set up by the mission for the missionaries to take a vacation. They also had a boarding school for missionary children there, Kent Academy. We borrowed a car from one of the missionaries and set out across the barren plateau road. It was a rough road, and some of the missionaries told us they had dubbed it Induction Road. Apparently, the doctor had on occasion used it for that very purpose when one of the missionary ladies was overdue to deliver her baby. It pretty much worked out that way with me, though it was early for my delivery. However, as we bounced along toward Miango, we were not thinking of that. We were enjoying watching the wildlife along the way. Most notable were the baboons that lived among the rocky landscape and chased each other or just sat on the top of a rock and watched us pass. An interesting bird called the secretary bird lived in that area. I'm not sure how it got its name. I think I would call it an airplane bird because it took off and landed like an airplane. It got its feet going until it had some speed, flapped its wings, and took off. When it came in for a landing, its feet started pedaling before it hit the ground and kept going until it came to a halt. It was a big bird, 3 or 4 feet tall, so it was too heavy to take off and land the way most birds do. Roland and I unpacked our suitcases in the small cement cottage to which we were assigned at Miango. We looked forward to relaxing and enjoying the wonderful food prepared for us in the campus main building. The climate was cool and dry there on the high plateau, a nice change from the extreme heat and humidity of Liberia. Beautiful fresh vegetables and fruit grew well there, and we thoroughly enjoyed them. We had 2 weeks before our baby was due to be born. However, Induction Road had evidently done its work. We were there only 2 or 3 days when my water broke, and we had to pack up and head back to the mission headquarters at Jos. I was admitted to the mission hospital, and 24 hours later, on August 27, 1960, our tiny redhead baby girl, Rebecca Ruth, was born. She was 6 pounds, 11 ounces, and looked like a baby doll. The doctor allowed Roland to come into the delivery room and observe the joyful occasion. I again thanked the Lord for allowing him to be there by my side. His camera was very busy. He was so proud of his little daughter, he took a whole roll of 36 slides in the next few days. Dr. Tripp kept me in the hospital for 2 weeks to recuperate. He wanted to be sure I was strong enough for the flight back home to Liberia. As we returned to our home with our precious cargo, we rejoiced in the goodness of the Lord. We were reminded of Job's words when the Lord allowed his children to be killed. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job chapter 1, verse 21.